Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to be with you again by radio. And we're going to be reading in the scriptures today from 1 Peter in chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Again, it is a blessing to always be able to preach by radio. Hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Notice as we come here to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, our subject today is titled, the message is Three Enemies of the Believer. Three Enemies of the Believer. And we're going to be looking at the devil, which is an enemy, the world, and the flesh. We realize that as a Christian, that we are in a warfare, and which is mentioned to us in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Even the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought a good fight. He also said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, that we as Christians, telling Timothy this as a minister, that he is to endure hardness as a good soldier. And then the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that he had fought with beasts at Ephesus, that is, men who opposed the Word of God. Now, as we read our text today, notice 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Heavenly Father, we ask today your blessings upon the reading of God's Word, upon your Word. We pray today for that soul that is near his tail, that they'd come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We pray today for the saints, that they might be edified. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let me mention just a few resources before we get completely into our message here today. I want to mention to you that you can find us on the internet in two different places. You can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. On that website, there's literally hundreds of sermons and articles. Most of the sermons are full-length sermons that are preached in our church. And then the articles are basically just a sermon in print. And so if you go there, you can download free any of the articles, any of the recorded sermons, absolutely free. And so we hope that you go and take advantage of that. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. That is sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sections titled Speakers, which has to do with the ministers, and type in my name, Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. So those two places you can find more resources available. Well, coming to our text now, we're looking at the subject of three enemies of the believer: the devil, the world, and the flesh. And what we want to do is that we want to begin with the devil, because he's mentioned here in our text. Satan wants to take you and I out of the battle. As I mentioned early, we are in a warfare. We are in a battle in this world. And so Satan, the devil, would love to take us out of the battle. Many don't believe that the devil is real. The scriptures clearly show us the truth about Satan. He has many names. He also has two faces. What do I mean by that? Well, he can come as a roaring lion, as in our text, or he can come as an angel of light, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In our text, he is referred to as a roaring lion. You'll notice with me again, reading from verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." All Christians, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, they will be opposed by this enemy that is referred to as the devil or Satan. Now, there's notice in our text, again, that in verse 6, we are to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. In verse 7, we are commanded to cast all of our care upon him, because for he careth for us. We are told now to be sober, to be watchful, to be alert, because that your adversary, the devil, notice he is an enemy, he is an adversary, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are to resist him in the faith, according to verse 9. Now, in Ephesians 4:27, God tells us to neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give him any area in our heart and in our life. Again, in James 4, verses 7 and 8, we are told to resist the devil and that he would flee from us. We are to resist him by seeking the Lord and drawing nigh unto the God of heaven. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 16, we find the wiles of the devil. He says there to put on the whole armor of God. And so there is an armor, a spiritual armor, that every Christian is to wear. Then in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, he is called the God of this world. He blinds people as he did in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible speaks of his devices in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 44, the devil or Satan, he is referred to as a murderer and a liar. 2 Thessalonians 2, he is a deceiver. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, the Son of God, and he'll tempt us also. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through about 11, he came and tempted our Savior there in the first century. Now, Satan is called in Revelation 12:10 and also Revelation 20:10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. He is called the accuser of the brethren. All you got to do is read Job chapter 1 and see that very clearly. He's the accuser of the brethren. And this is why that Jesus Christ, as our Savior and our advocate that is in heaven, that makes intercession for us before the Father. The Spirit of God inside of us makes intercession for us as well. We find a story in Luke 22, 31 through 34, the night before the crucifixion, that Satan wanted to sift the apostles, the leaders of the church. He wanted to sift them as wheat. A sifter is a screen that was used to put grain in, and you shook it to separate the dirt and chaff from the pure kernels. And so this is exactly what Satan wanted to do to the leaders of the church of the first century, and he still today desires to do this to you and I. Satan is out to destroy God's people. He's out to harm your family, your church. He is real. He is not the figment of the imagination. He is not some doctrine that has been made up to scare people, into getting saved. Satan is real, and he was there in the garden deceiving our first parents. So our first enemy that I bring forth to you today is the devil. Now the second enemy is the world, and I'm turning to 1 John. I'm going to be reading in chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and verse 17. So when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the stars or the moon or the sun. We're not talking about the plants and the birds and the trees. But we're talking about that organized system that is headed up by Satan, that is in rebellion against God, and we're not talking about the world of creation, but we're talking about that organized system headed up by Satan that is in total rebellion against God. So Satan is linked to this enemy, the world. Now, when we talk about the world, we find in our text that I'm going to read that there's three divisions in the world. And we find here that the context sums up the world and all the temptations that come from the world. That is, these three divisions. In other words, there's three ways the world gains entrance into our lives or into our hearts. Notice what they are. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and in verse 17. The Lord says here, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, then the lust of the eyes, number three, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now there's many other verses and reference to the world. There's many other verses, Old and New Testament. For instance, I'm going to come back to this text in just a moment, but for instance, in 1 John 5 in verse 4, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" In verse 19 of chapter 5, he says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." We also find in the book of James a very important passage on this. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." These are some very bold and profound statements. The world is set in opposition to God. And here in this passage, you cannot be a friend of God and at the same time be a friend of the world. That's very clear according to James 4 and in verse 4. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Why? because the world is at enmity with God. James chapter 1 and verse 27, we have these words. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Again, we see here that what is pure religion? How is it that someone can keep themselves unspotted from these things? He says, how is it that someone can keep himself undefiled, I should say? Number one, visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction. Number two, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We also find in the book of Romans, again, this is a subject that is just spoken of throughout the entire scripture and especially in the New Testament. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You notice that we're told in this passage, as a Christian, that we're not to be conformed to this world. That's very clear. Be not conformed to this world. But he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be seeking the will of God, not seeking the things of this world. A few other verses before I come back to our text in 1 John 2. A few other verses would be Mark 4:19. It speaks of the cares of this world that really choke and rob us of spiritual truth. The Bible said in Mark 8:36 that a person can gain the whole world and lose his own soul in hell. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, before we were converted, we walked according to the course of this world. That's what we did. We all did that. We walked according to the course of this world. God was not a part of our life. The Bible was not the guide to our life. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas, mentioned three times in the Bible, and the last statement about him has to do with this world. He got caught up in the things of this world. We cannot serve two masters. We'll either love the one and hate the other, as in Matthew 6, verse 24. And so, clearly, we see the issue of the world. And even the Lord Jesus, in the upper room discourse, the night before the crucifixion, he speaks to his disciples. He's encouraging them. But he said in John 15, St. John 15, verse 18 through 21, he said that the world would hate them because they had hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Reiterated again in John 17, verse 14 to 16, and John 16, verses 32 and 33, for Jesus himself said that he had overcome the world, and he said, be of good cheer. We as Christians, we are to be overcomers. We're to be overcomers. Now notice our text again, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's three divisions from the world whereby that we're tempted. And you would find these three same temptations in the Garden of Eden when Satan came to Eve. You'd also find them in Matthew 4, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. And here they are again, verse 16, for all that is in the world, here they are, number one, the lust of the flesh, number two, the lust of the eyes, number three, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So those are the three divisions in the world. The context sums up, again, the world and all the temptations that come from the world. And there's three ways that the world tempts us or intervenes into our lives and into our hearts. So that is an enemy. The devil, Satan, is an enemy. Number two, the world is an enemy. Now, number three, I'm turning to Galatians, the book of Galatians, and I'm reading in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. So here's our third enemy. Our third enemy is the flesh. What do I mean by the flesh? That's what I was born with. That Adamic lower nation that I was, nature rather, that I was born with. And I have a feeling that the flesh is my greatest enemy. It's that old corrupt nature I inherited from Adam that has yet been changed and been born again. Now, that doesn't mean that we can justify sin because we have the Spirit of God within us. But we live in a body of flesh that is corrupt, dying, and going to the grave. That's why we'll receive a glorified, resurrected body one day. But now notice with me. He says in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, he says, for this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he mentions the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh in verse 19 and 20, here they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, the flesh is an enemy. We have to keep it under control. In Romans 6, 11 and 12, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 7, 18 through 23, there is no good thing in the flesh. Romans 13, 14, make no provision for the flesh. Again, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. So he keeps his flesh under subjection. And this is why that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again, according to John 3, verse 3 and 5. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Again, 50 and 51. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have three enemies. We must be aware of those enemies. And we cannot let the devil get the victory over us in any way. We cannot do that. We cannot let the devil get the victory over us. And we cannot let the world get the victory over us. We cannot do that. Because God has commanded us that we will be destroyed if we walk according to the course of this world. And then our own flesh can deceive us, it can lead us astray, and this is why that we're to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh as a Christian. So we have three enemies that we must be aware of and be concerned about as a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian today, God tells us in His Holy Word how that we can become a Christian, that is a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is through the new birth. Acts 20:21, there must be repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. And there is no salvation outside of Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, Jesus Christ died for our sins at Calvary's cross. The gospel is that he died, according to the scripture, for our sins. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. So, salvation is in Christ. Outside of Christ, all will end up in a devil's hell. So, salvation is in Christ. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We find in verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we find in verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So salvation is through Christ, in Christ, trusting his blood that he shed at Calvary, believing that he is the Messiah, he's the Savior, he's the Son of God, and if we'll confess with our mouth these things and believe in our heart, God has promised that he would save us. I want you to think about that. You can be saved today. You can become a Christian today by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I would beg of you to do that. Again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful truth that God has given to us in his word. And I beg of you today to trust him as your Lord and Savior. And also to the Christians, as I've been speaking, realize that there are three enemies. And realize that we need to walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I hope that you'll keep those two things in mind. Now I want to mention to you also that if you've had a blessing or been blessed through the radio broadcast, that we'd love to hear from you. If you've been saved through the radio broadcast, let us know that we might can rejoice with you. If you've been edified in the faith and you've learned something, let us know. That would be great encouragement to us. And so we just pray that the resources that we mentioned also that will be a blessing to you. I want to remind you again, biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can find hundreds of articles and sermons on that website. And then you can find us at sermonaudio.com. That is sermonaudio.com. And when you go to sermonaudio.com, you need to find the section that's titled Speakers, which has to do with the preachers, ministers. There's thousands of ministers on this particular website. And just type in my name, Robert Reed, and that'll carry you to our home page. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, that will carry you straight to the articles, the sermons, the psalm singing, everything that we have there that will carry you straight to that. And we hope and pray that you'll take advantage of that. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.